Welcome to Success Is Podcast. I'm your host, Phil Portman, serial entrepreneur, author, and podcast host. Whether success for you is more money, time with your family, a healthy, well-balanced life, or freedom, I'm interviewing guests and getting you the advice to make it happen. So join me as we uncomplicate the complicated, help you define success, and give you the strategies to make it happen. Hello, and thank you for joining me today on the Success Is Podcast. I'm your host, Phil Portman. Joining me today is David Shamsad. David is a forthcoming author, expert on mental health, and the CEO of SG Real Estate, a regional Bay Area investment, asset management, and brokerage firm. Thank you for joining us today, David.
Thank you for having me.
So what does success mean to you?
Success to me is commitment versus contribution. Okay, I thought about your question for a couple of days. I said, you know what? I'm just going to tell a quick story that explains exactly what that means. Okay, it's the story of ham and eggs. Okay, so a kid comes downstairs for breakfast with his dad one morning. And, you know, he's sitting there, his dad's drinking coffee, reading the paper, and kid looks down at his plate. And, you know, he said, Dad, we were talking about something in school. And the teacher was trying to explain the difference between commitment and contribution. And, you know, she went on for a while and I just still don't understand. And Dad said, puts down his paper and his glasses, says, son, look at the plate. Tell me what you see. And the kid said, ham and eggs. He said, okay. The chicken made a contribution to your breakfast, but the pig made a commitment.
Nice.
And I love that story because to me, that's exactly what success is. It's commitment and not contribution. It's putting the entirety of yourself and your willpower and your character into your purpose, whatever it is. And it's all about the work and the journey, not the end result. And to me, that's what it is. And it's never going to be, okay, how much more do I have on my plate than the next guy? It's never going to be, oh, I'm the biggest real estate investor. Because as long as if you think about things that way, there's always somebody that's more successful. You know, and unless you're Warren Buffett, if you think of yourself as I got to be the best investor to be successful, you're going to be a failure every day. So the success is, what can I do today to put forth my best effort to work towards my goal? My goal can be to be the best real estate CEO. That's fine. That's my target. That's my goal. But if that's how I measure success, I got a problem.
Yeah, you're always gonna be chasing that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If success is to be the best basketball player ever, Steph Curry and LeBron James must be failures because Michael Jordan's always going to be sitting there.
Throw a little controversy in here in the beginning. Yeah.
Yeah, he's going to put 50 points on you tonight if you tell him that.
Yeah, absolutely. Has your definition of success evolved over time?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, and that's a great question because like that perspective that I just shared that, you know, I wasn't born with that idea. That took a long time to kind of learn and internalize because it's really easy to get frustrated and it's really easy to feel like you're not successful, right? And I had to learn over time, like, okay, like fall down twice, get up a third time, you know? And if it's really easy to get knocked off course if there's that frustration about being a failure, you got to learn over time. Like, okay, it's the process of working hard every day towards goals. That's a success. And if you have that attitude, every day can have success in it. But it took me a while to internalize that. And I got, you know, plenty frustrated along the way when I looked at someone else and realized they had more on their plate, you know?
Absolutely. So can you walk us through kind of your journey as the CEO of SG Real Estate?
Yeah. If you don't mind, I'm going to go back to the real beginning, because I think for me to understand like how success came to be for me, you know, it's all about that journey. So I'm going to start. I'm going to start in a white room. I'm going to start in a white room. For years, I'd been struggling with mood episodes, you know, and I didn't really know what they were. I didn't really know what was going on. I didn't want to tell anyone. I'd be up for a week talking, laughing, shopping, partying, and then I'd be down for a week. All of a sudden, talking to you right now would feel like I was talking on stage in a crowd. Getting up and showering and brushing my teeth felt impossible. And I just went up and down like
this. Big highs, big lows like that, right?
Wow. Yeah. And I didn't really understand. I didn't understand what it was. I was in my early 20s and I don't know. I thought I was going crazy, but I didn't want to talk to anybody about it. And then one morning, it just went on like that. And eventually I hit a wall. One morning I decided, you know, I was in okay shape, but not like a triathlete. And I woke up and I decided I was so high. I was so euphoric. And I said, okay, I'm going to ride. I'm going to do a 50-mile bike ride today. And then I'm going to run 13 miles and do a half marathon. And then I'm going to go to the gym. I had this idea that I could do all that just kind of on a whim. And again, I was in okay shape, but that wasn't something that I did regularly ever. And yeah. I did it. And it was, and I was feeling as high as I'd ever felt. And I could not run out of energy. And it was amazing that the sun hitting my, you know, my skin when I was outdoors just felt magnificent. And then the next morning I woke up as low as I had ever been in any episode of my life. And in the middle of my mind, which was racing and screaming, I had one clear idea, which is that I was certain that, like, the sky is blue, certain that it would hurt far less if I would be dead than to feel the way I was feeling for the rest of my life. And that was it. I went to the woods near my job. At the time, I worked with at-risk youth, and I took out my knife and I held it against my wrist and I pressed down. And I remember thinking that skin is tougher than I thought it was. It's more like leathery than it is fragile. And I remember pressing harder to draw some blood. And at the moment, someone tackled me. It was the counselor that worked on site. And I remember him on top of me, and then everything goes black. And the next thing I remember, I woke up in a white room, and I'd been committed involuntarily to a psychiatric hospital. And then guess what? I was not anywhere near rock bottom. I left about 2 weeks later, and I was medicated. They diagnosed me as bipolar. I told no one. I wanted to bury it, take my morning pills, and just pretend it would sort of never crop up again, as if it was chicken pox or something. And I spent the next 10 years covering it up, self-medicating to the point of becoming an alcoholic. Drank every night, either to go to sleep if it was a Tuesday, or to black out entirely if it was a Friday. And the more I drank, the more I needed to drink. But bipolar and alcohol and all these meds, they do not mix. I had mood stabilizers, antidepressants, and antipsychotics in me. And the result was I was angry, violent, drunk, and a total free fall. I went to jail a few times and got into brawls in my cell, went to the hospital, and I was done. I was ready to disappear. And then one morning, I woke up, I was covered in blood, and I had no idea how or what or when or why. I didn't know how I got home until I went looking for my car and I found out that I'd driven home. You know, definitely not the first time I'd done that, right? But it was the first time where I was completely unable to remember anything, not a sight or sound or the faintest clue. And then I found blood on the car and on the door and on the inside. And I was like, I hope it's mine. I was terrified I'd hurt someone. And you know, I had, and I scoured the internet for like a hit and run or something to make sure. But I knew in that moment, like I was dead. It was either going to happen in some instant or it was going to happen over time, but not that much time. And that was the only outcome of the path I was on. And I checked myself into a chemical dependency recovery program and at the hospital near me. And I worked with a counselor over a few days who was incredible. And I think of her now as like an angel that appeared in my life. And she convinced me that I had to stop for a month. So 30 days, and it's a matter of your survival. So that morning I emailed, after I spoke with her, I emailed everybody I knew. I said, I need your help. I need to stay away from it for a month, and I need you to support me, and I need you to go to the movies with me or take a walk with me or anything you can to help me. And the support I got was incredible. You know, these are the people that were left. And
was that tough to do, to send that email out? I can only imagine.
Pressing send on that email, you know, when you write an email you're not sure about, you got to press send, and it's a little dicey. This was the hardest time I'd ever clicked send.
Just hurry up, tap it. Yeah, before you change
it. Yeah, your mind, stare at it for an hour, and then and this was before you could undo, you know, it was final. And, but I'm glad I did. I knew, because it's like, you know, I felt like I could let myself down, but am I going to let down all these people? And days went by, and a month went by, and then another, and then 6 months went by, and life had changed. And it changed fast. Friends, family, work, it all took off. And at the time, I'd been working in real estate, like barely holding it down, but doing small deals when I could, working minimal hours, doing some hourly stuff on the side just to kind of pay bills. But all of a sudden, it took off. And it turned out I was pretty good. And when I committed to it, things started rolling. And after a year or two, I was sober. I was healthy. I was starting to be really successful in real estate. And this was actually during the recession too. This was back coming out of the recession in like 2010, 2011. And at that point, I just had this momentum and I had this idea that I wanted a fresh start and set out on a new path. And also to get a change of scenery, you know, to get out of the office that I used to walk into hungover every morning. And I just wanted a better life, and I didn't have a picture yet. You know, it wasn't this end goal. I just wanted to feel successful and keep this momentum that I had going. And so I started my own business, and, you know, it was that, like that early stage stuff with me in a tiny office that I had to find a subletter for just to pay half the rent in an office only big enough for one person. And I just gave it a shot. I started out with literally two clients. And I gave them like everything I had, you know, and I figured, look, it's a recession. Nobody's filling their buildings. No one's getting leases done. I'm going to be the guy that scraps and claws way harder. Right. Because mm-hmm. Guess what? You're my only client. So I'm going to get after it. And I did. And I gave them everything I had. And then they told a friend, and then, you know, they put me in touch with a connection, and then I had four clients. And then the market started to pick up, and I started to get a little bit of traction and reputation. And then I had eight clients that I was doing deals for, acting as the broker, their asset manager, everything I could, right? And things took off. My plan was sink or swim. If this business doesn't work, you know, I'll apply to grad school or something. I don't know. But it took off. And that was about 11, 12 years ago. And now I've got a business. We manage about 2,000 units or 2,500 units here in the Bay Area, apartment and commercial office retail. I've got about 50 employees, and we've got our own investment portfolio of about 15 properties, as well as third party work that we do. Things couldn't be better. You know, there's bigger real estate companies out there, but like I said in the beginning, it's all about continuing to work towards that. And set the sights high and continue on that path. And it was all, and it all started at that beginning, because going back to your definition of success, it was about overcoming that. For me, that success was, can I overcome this obstacle? You know, can I overcome a really challenging situation? And like, because of what I've worked through, like I have the opportunity to talk about it to people and to help people that are on their own entrepreneurial path, as well as people who are dealing with mental health and recovery issues, and reminding them, hey, like the end of the road isn't just maybe, you know, you getting treatment. After that, you can do anything you want.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can be an entrepreneur.
Yeah. Once you get rid of that major handicap that was, you know, holding you back. I mean, look at the things you did.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I mean,
that's incredible. Congratulations on all your success and overcoming that. Talking about the mental health thing, I've heard stories time and again of people that go to get treatment and they get it long enough that they're feeling better, and then they're back at it again and then relapsing.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
You know, happens time and time again. And exactly. Do you have any advice for somebody other than hitting rock bottom, right? Other than waking up all bloodied and not remembering the night before, that could help them get on the path that you ultimately got on?
Absolutely. I was thinking about that this morning. I have a friend who, a brilliant guy. I mean, he's as smart and capable as anyone I know. But he struggles really hard with depression, and he's an alcoholic. And he has gone, you know, so to speak, on and off the wagon at countless times, a dozen times at least, and relapsed again and again. And every time he does, he goes through the same cycle of thinking that everything that he's done to that point was a failure, right? Mm-hmm. He didn't drink for 6 months and then he relapsed.
He's got to start all over again, right?
Right. Yeah. But I talk to a lot of people that are fighting through this, and I remind them, like, hey, you drank last night. You were sober for 6 months. Okay, that didn't just disappear.
Yeah.
Right? Like, relapsing is part of the struggle. And it's not like I had never had the idea of cutting back, you know, but before, during that period of time I mentioned of 10 years of drinking, it's not like it never occurred to me, oh, okay, maybe I'll slow down a bit. And I tried to moderate, and I tried to drink a little less, and I took a few days off. It takes a ton of work, and it takes a lot of tries, and you got to go to bat and strike out many times before you can, you know, hopefully land where I did. But it's not that easy. So I remind my buddy time and time again, he's doing great right now, by the way. He's on, he's been sober a year. We just celebrated his anniversary. Yeah, that's incredible. And it's every time I told him, like, hey man, like, just because you drank last night, it doesn't mean those 6 months of work didn't mean anything, and you don't need to throw it all away. Okay. Did you learn something last night? Can you learn from what you feel today and how that compares to the way you felt for 6 months, and draw a conclusion from that? Because then there's a lesson and it was worth it. Right. Yeah. And he just had his 1 year anniversary, and I felt the same way, and I'm seeing it with him. It's like, when those handcuffs come off and you're taking care of yourself, and you're not inhibiting your own success by, you know, not taking care of yourself. And maybe that means drug and alcohol abuse. That can mean anything. When those handcuffs come off, you realize, like, holy moly, like, I got a lot of capability. I can be immensely successful. I've just been holding myself back. And it's like starting to see and feel that success can become the new addiction in a way. Like, this is fun. Like, oh wow, I can see what I can produce now that I've got, you know, I'm not carrying around this weight anymore. And that's really what's been, I haven't had a drink in 11 years. And what's kept me on that track is like finding success every day in other places. And that keeps my momentum moving forward.
So do you remember having a distinct identity change, or did that come with a change in your environment where you went from who you were before to who you are now?
That's a great question. Yeah. I mean, there was a moment when I stopped drinking, right? There was a moment where I made a decision. But it's not like that next day I was, oh, I'm going to be an entrepreneur and I'm going to be the CEO of a pretty, you know, sizable regional player in this industry. No, it was just work every day. It was an idea and like working towards it every day.
One foot in front of the other type. Yeah,
totally. And like literally one day at a time, because I think going back to like success versus failure, if you put that in front of yourself as like, okay, I need to be this person, that can be really frustrating because it's not that easy. It's not that perfunctory to just snap your fingers. It's one foot in front of the other, working towards a goal for a year, for 10 years, whatever it might be. And whatever that goal is too, it doesn't have to be money. It doesn't have to be industry. If your goal is to be, you know, the best anything, as long as you're working hard towards it, if you want it, you're a chef, you're a painter, you're an artist, you're an entrepreneur, whatever. As long as you're putting work in every day and going on your journey, that is success.
Absolutely. I love that. In your real estate career and your investment career, did you ever have a mentor, somebody that advised you along the way? Or was it, or were you one of those, I figured it out as I go kind of guys?
No, that's a great question. I'm a little bit, just figure it out as I go. And like plunging into a business in the middle of a recession, like doesn't really sound like a good idea that someone would have advised me on. So maybe it's good that I kind of just figure stuff out, sink or swim. But I absolutely have people that I look up to, people that I've learned a ton from, guys that I feel like, okay, this is a template kind of, this is what's possible, right? This guy did that. So there's no reason I can't, you know, try to put in some of the same steps and get there too. I was talking to someone the other day, and this is someone that I've kind of looked up to and thought that I've learned a lot from, because he's been a business partner. He's been a client. He's kind of helped me be successful, but he's also a peer. He's like my age, and someone that, you know, I've tried to emulate in a lot of ways as far as, you know, his business acumen. And, you know, we were talking the other day, and I feel like, man, you know, over the years, I've really come close to this guy, and we're kind of on par with each other as far as, you know, some of the accomplishments we had. And he's telling me about his latest deal, which was a $65 million acquisition. And I was like, I looked down at my feet for a second, and I was just like, man, I suck. Our biggest deal. I was like, shit, biggest deal I've done is about half that size. And we're the same age. And I'm like, damn, am I half as successful, or am I 2X a failure? And I started going into that thought pattern we talked about before.
Yeah.
Where that thought sinks in, and all of a sudden you're questioning like everything you've done. And that's okay. That's normal and human. And then at that moment, I just caught myself. And I said, you know what? I'm going to give myself another minute of staring at my feet like a sad dog. And then I'm going to, instead of thinking one more moment about it, I switch my thinking to, I'm so lucky to know this guy, because he's showing me what might be possible. And whether I do a $65 million deal or do whatever it is that I end up wanting to do, he's a good example, right? And all I got to do is, what can I do tomorrow to just keep my trajectory up? And how can I use his success as like a good idea? There's always someone that has done more, and you can either use them and as an inspiration and someone to learn from, or you can kind of get you know, down on yourself and say, you know what, like I could never do what that person's done. So he's a great motivator because he's open and sharing how he's been successful. And he's always right there in front of me and I'm nipping at his heels.
Yeah. No, that's a great story. And I get what you're saying. I mean, it's tough. The competition part is tough, right? Because
yeah,
if you're successful in business, you're a competitor at times, right? And you're looking at them and you certainly want to be happy for them, you know, but you're like, you know, still, all right, I'm going to get there. I'm going to get there. But I like what you're talking about with just the one step in front of the other, you know. We talk in the tech business around, you ever look at Apple, and Apple always compares itself to the previous version of itself. It's never comparing itself to, you know, the Android phones or whatever. Right. And we want to be more like Apple, where we're always comparing ourselves to the previous version of ourselves. And that's kind of the attitude that I try to take on as well. And it aligns with what you're talking about, which is putting the step in front of each other and moving on. So,
yeah, I love that. If the only way of being successful is to be, you know, be very, very top, to be Amazon of your respective industry, then why even bother, right? But instead you say, you know what, like, what's my goal for tomorrow? And how do I compare with where I was a year ago? And was there growth? And if there was, great, keep on. And if there wasn't, what can I learn from to make a change to see the success I want to see? So I love that. I didn't know that about Apple. That's a great MO, because again, looking at everybody else's plate it's discouraging. And at the end of the day, it's not really how you're going to grow, and it's about fulfillment too. Like, you know what, you got a life to live, and then we're done. And if it's miserable every day because you're constantly looking at who's done more and who has more, you're not going to feel good, right? Because there's always somebody who has more. But when you internalize what success means and think about it as, am I working my hardest towards a goal and on my journey? That's something you can feel happy about every day, regardless of outcomes.
Absolutely. Could agree with you more. So how do you balance the successful business? I mean, this has grown a lot over the years, and also your personal life and other commitments that you have.
A great question. And it's not easy. It's taken a lot of work and a lot of time. I know a lot of entrepreneurs, and one thing that everybody seems to have in common is there's a lot of workaholics, and there's, you know, everybody's always, always, always chipping away. And there was a point in time where I used to think, like, it's 8 p.m. I'm awake. Why shouldn't I be working right now? Let me send an email. Let me do something. Let me email some lead from a month ago just because. And then over time, you realize two things. Like, one, is that how I want to live, right? Like, is that how I want to spend time? Because there's a million other things, right? And you've been, and remember, like, hey, I've been busting my butt all day. Like, I should go watch a basketball game. Okay, I'm not going to miss the Warriors game tonight, even though it's an early start. I'm definitely watching that game. And then the other thing I realized too is sometimes we fool ourselves into thinking that working harder is smarter, right? So I'm like, okay, work, 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 work. Sometimes you're doing busy work just to kind of fulfill an impulse that you have, as opposed to stepping back and thinking, okay, what are the things that I'm going to do today to further my agenda and my business? And that's what I'm going to do today. And then after that, I'm going to watch a basketball game, right? And if you don't give yourself that space, like, you're going to burn yourself out. And that's one thing, right? And the other thing is you're just going to, like, miss the forest for the trees a lot, because you're just thinking, like, busy myself. But, like, really successful people that have hit some of these big goals, you know, a lot of the ways that they did that is stepping back, especially on the executive level. If you're the business owner, if you're an executive, the stepping back and really making big moves, thinking about big picture things, setting goals, not just like doing stuff that you could get, that you could delegate, right? Or get help, you know, with from a VA. So that transition takes time because you want to feel busy all the time.
Absolutely. Because you started your success in your career off by working harder, like you described in the beginning, than anyone else. You had two clients, right? That's it. I'm going to work harder than anyone else. But then you reach that point where your efforts or your work are not exchanged for money. And you being caught in the weeds, like what you described, actually becomes a detriment to your business.
Right.
And I've been in that same situation, and I realized that if I am too busy and I'm not thinking about my business and I'm not pulling away, you know, that my only good ideas are coming when I'm standing under the shower, right? Because that's the only time that my brain is not focused on a problem or something like that. And so, yeah, I agree with you. You reach a point in your career where you have to be the thinker. You have to, can't be stuck in the operations of it.
Yeah, there's about two phrases come to mind. One is, it's, you know, it's trite, but it's a good one. Work on your business, not in your business, right? Just work on the growth of the business. Work on the growth of yourself as an executive. Don't catch yourself working in the business, right? And then the other one I like to think of, there's a real estate term, highest and best use. And it usually refers to land or a building, right? What's the highest and best use of this land? If it's in the middle of an urban core area and high density place where people want to live and work, is a one story, you know, industrial building the highest and best use? No. Highest and best use for that is tear it down, take the dirt, and build a place for 1,000 people to live, work, eat, whatever. And I think about that for myself too. And I apply that same thing to myself and my time.
That's like, great.
What is the highest and best use of my time? And when I catch myself doing things that I could teach someone else to do, then I'm like, wait, this isn't the highest and best use of my time. I can teach someone to do this. I could pay someone to do this. I could help them grow. Doing someone else's job for them is not the highest and best use of my time. And that's something I think a lot of entrepreneurs can just try to always remind themselves of, right? Because one, you're taking away from your ability to do what you're really capable of doing, which is making big moves and coming up with big ideas. That's how you became an entrepreneur in the first place. And the other thing you're doing is you're getting in the way of your own growth. Because if I can teach someone else here at my company to do X, Y, and Z, that's one more person who's able to accomplish more aside from me. So why am I gonna get in the weeds and do something that someone else could benefit from and also lose that hour or that afternoon or whatever that I could be looking at our next investment, right? That's the highest and best use of my time.
I love that. Well, David, I appreciate your time today. For our listeners, how can they get in touch with you? How can they follow you? What do you got going on?
I've got, great question. I got a bunch of things they could do. Our website, if they're interested in learning more about SG Real Estate, is SGREINC.com. And that's a website, that's our corporate homepage. I have a personal website, davidshamzad.com, DAVIDSHAMSZAD. I'm going to say that one again because spelling my last name's got a is an obstacle at times. So davidshamszad.com. And then I'm on LinkedIn as well. And I've got a forthcoming book that I hope is out later this year called Coming Up for Air. And that'll be on my website, on my personal website as well.
Great. Well, thank you so much. And thank you for listening to this episode of the Success Is podcast. We'll see you next time.
Thank you for having me.